Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Draft Doctors. I'm your host, Stevie Fizz, and we've got a massive show for you today. We're trying something completely different. We haven't done it before. It's our hot takes slash bold prediction show. Yes, we're looking at the extreme of our range of outcomes in this episode. We're certainly not ranking things as though they're definitely going to happen this way, but we're saying it's a possibility, and I hope it's a lot of fun. Of course, no one else is here today, so I'm stuck, unfortunately, with Cam McLaughlin. Cam, how you doing?
Yeah, doing quite well. And look, I'd like to flip that on its head and say that, you know, the others being out has arguably left the two best draft doctors, but, you know, now it's really hard to give you a bit of a G up like that. So maybe we'll just say, glad that Cam McLaughlin's in the house. And I'll tell you what, the rest of us have left us high and dry in our time of need, just like Scott Morrison. But I'm pretty pumped about the show. I think it's, you know, at a really timely point of the year. As, you know, yesterday was George Hall and Smith's birthday. The embodiment of hot takes.
Yeah, no, because this is actually coming out Christmas Day. So Merry Christmas to all the listeners out there. We have got a massive Christmas present for you at the end of the show. Something we're very excited about. So we'll be doing that. We'll be rating all your hot takes that you sent through on the social medias, on the Twitters and the Facebooks. Facebooks really didn't get too many. It's there's not a lot of 70-year-olds who like the draft doctors, I don't think. So that's where they all hang out these days, isn't it, Cam?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, we better check with Doss, he'd know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It's interesting you said about Scott Morrison. Which of the two do you think is more ScoMo?
Out of, what, Doss and Jono?
Yeah.
Ooh. It's Doss.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can. He's so convincing whenever he tells me anything. And I know that Scott Morrison's a complete, well, complete Scott Morrison. And it's just sort of really hard to, you know, not believe his lies.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. Because Jono's more like a Hitler, right?
Well, yeah. I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to go there, but it's the name on everyone's lips.
What? Yeah. I just wanted to throw out a few little hot takes. These are the things people don't agree with. Big Ern McCracken is a better movie villain than Shooter McGavin. Led Zeppelin is shit. And poker is still the best TV sport. But we've got some fantasy football takes. That is this is a fantasy football show. As much as it's an Epstein show also, it is mainly fantasy footy. So, Cam, why don't you take us away with your first hot take?
I'm just going to open up another can because I feel like this is going to get a little bit thirsty as I'm running this one through. It's so hot. So the first one is George Hewitt of the Sydney Swans is going to average 105 in both formats. So he's coming off a pretty big year. I think he's going to head into his fifth or sixth year next year. Last year he finished second in the Bob Skilton medal. I think there's a pretty strong narrative to support, you know, George relieving his tagging duties and playing as a ball-winning mid. I'll have a look at the opportunity and justification why I think that's going to change. The Swans last year were pretty darn shit in the midfield. For a team that has two contested weapons in Parker and JPK, they were beaten in the contest by pretty much everyone in the comp, ranking third last for contestant ball gets, second last for centre clearances, and third last for stoppage clearances. So you'd think this would be an area where, you know, any good coach, Horse, we're looking at you, focuses on improving things going into 2020. Coincidentally, it's an area where George Hewitt really excels, getting over 10 contested possessions in 12 games, including 2 over 20. He was actually only third behind Parker and JPK in contested possessions for the Swans, and similarly with clearances, and he wasn't even focusing on the ball the majority of the time. If indeed the contested side is the focus for improvement, I look at the list and I can't figure out where else it'll come from. Looking at last year's figures, Heaney was ranked fourth for contested possessions, but a significant step change down from Hewitt. Jones, who's left, was fifth. And then you've got two key positions, a defender in Alia, and then Cal Sinclair as the ruck. So of the top seven, you know, contested ball gets, you've got two key position players, one person who's left the club, and the other only averaged 8.95, which is, you know, below average as far as, you know, midfielders go. JPK is turning 32 next year. We do expect to see an uptick in Florent and probably Jordan Dawson's numbers, but I think it's a fair bit of justification for maybe relieving the tag and focusing on getting and winning the ball. And, you know, just on that point, I just don't think the tag actually worked for the Swans. Yeah, if we look at it a little bit closer, they finished 15th on the ladder, their worst performance in a bloody long time, and they only beat two top eight sides, and one of those was Essendon. So, you know, I think, you know, if you look at the numbers a little bit and you want to get excited about what his potential is, look at the stretch of games between round 11 and round 17, where he was intermittently taken off tagging duties. And I say intermittently because, you know, round 16, he was basically playing exclusively as a tagger, but predominantly as a ball-winning mid. For that stretch of games, he managed 90.2 AFL Fantasy and a whopping 102.2 Supercoach, which is, you know, approaching relevance in AFL Fantasy and absolutely relevance in Supercoach. Not only that, they actually knocked off the Eagles in that period. So that's the other top eight side. Imagine being successful and having no tagger. I think I really think that there's a strong narrative around this.
It's yeah, look, it's a pretty hot take. He was in the middle all the time. Like, he was camped in the center square. That was his role. So those contested ball and clearance numbers aren't shocking to me.
Yeah.
So I guess where's he going to improve? It's probably marks and uncontested possessions. Is that what you see?
No, so his uncontested ball gets were actually pretty good. Like, he wasn't terrible in that area. I think it's more that, you know, the shift away from being body on body and focusing on a tackle rather than focusing on winning the ball will be the big change for him. And if that doesn't happen and he is just going to be a tagger for the rest of his career, then he's probably not going to be as relevant. But man, if he gets away from that like he did in those middle rounds, awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to see Sydney going away from something they've, you know, used year in, year out. I mean, Christ, we've seen them run three tags at once.
Yeah.
They do need to get better. I just wonder if it's him, that's all.
Yeah, correct. And look, I had a look around at, you know, your Rowbottom and your a few other players, and I just can't see them improving their contested game to the level they need without him focusing more on the ball. That's the take.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, he's obviously going to be a pick at the back end of your draft for you.
Yeah, correct. Like, I'm looking to take him as a bench bid.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. All right, now with Jono away, the boys have actually sent in their recordings. So we're just going to play Jono's for you right now. I don't know what it is. Well, I know what it is, but I haven't heard it. It is Jono, so God only knows. Let's find out.
So for my first hot take for 2020 is that handsome Thomas J. Lynch will be the number one forward in Supercoach. Now, how much do you say he will achieve this? Well, it's quite simple, really. Well, if we look back on his 2019 season, he only averaged a paltry 71 Supercoach. Now, that was coming from a long runoff without having even a pre-season, so not too bad in the scheme of things, especially for a key forward. But if you look at his first half of the season, yes, it was absolute pus. But in the back half of the season, he actually scored pretty well, knocked out a few tons and a few 90s. It showed that the improvement was there. He had some sort of a fitness base by the end of the 29th season. Now, a couple of stats that came out of his 29th season, he was the number one contested marking player in the competition. So in terms of Supercoach, that is absolute rolled gold. Contested marks is what you want. Now, he only averaged 5 marks a game in 2019, It's, yeah, okay for a Supercoach player. But if we roll back to 2016, is when he had his best fantasy year in Supercoach, where he averaged 93 at the Gold Coast Suns. He averaged 7 marks a game back in 2016. And that's playing for the Gold Coast Suns. So that's pretty damn good in my book. But now he's with the Richmond Football Club. They are the reigning premiers. They've got Thomas Lynch and Jack Riewoldt in that forward line. So I'm thinking they're going to kind of keep Jack Riewoldt in the forward 50 and let Tom Lynch roam up the field a la Nick Riewoldt style, get about 10-15 marks a game, because who the hell is able to match up on Thomas Lynch? He's got ginormous arms. He's 200 centimetres tall. Now you think of a wingman like a Gus Brayshaw or an Ed Langdon of Melbourne, they got no chance of outmarking him. So he's going to rack up mark after mark each game. So that's 15 marks a game. That's 15 kicks. He runs back inside 50. He can also snag himself a couple of goals, because he also finished third in the Coleman medal in 2019 as well. So if we compare him to a Nick Riewoldt, Nick Riewoldt would get about 18 possessions, 12 marks a game, and 2 goals. So that's 44 goals, or 46 goals for a season. That's not too bad at all, a return. And especially with the forwards we lost in 2019 as well. We lost your Josh Dunkley's, your Dangerfields and whatnot. Lockie Whitfield is tipped to be the number one forward, but with a lot of those GWS midfielders coming back, I can see a bit of regression for him. Yes, Tom Lynch's average of 93 was his best at the Suns, but I think he can nudge it up past 100 and be the number one scoring forward in Supercoach in 2020.
So there you have it, Cam. Jono's spit in the fire, reckons Tom Lynch is going to average 15 marks a game. If you don't mind, my God, Richmond are going to win every match by 20 goals at that rate. What are your thoughts?
He's just going to, you know, casually up his marks per game by 10. And, you know, hit the highest marks per game he's ever had is 7. So it's, you know, that is a tough pill to swallow.
What's the highest ever marks per game?
Jeez, no
it
idea.
It couldn't be 15.
And it certainly wouldn't be a key forward.
Imagine if you had, that's 45 points a game in Dream Team.
I can see him improving, like, significantly, because that first half of the year was stank. It was like, you know, there's a 26 in there, there's a 44 in there, there's a 41 in there. Oh, my God. But that said, top scorer in Supercoach, over 100. Oh, that is a hot take, but it may be a little bit too hot.
It's pretty spicy. Some of those numbers, Jono might have. It's like when, you know, he might have gone fishing, right? And he's gone, you know, I had Tom Lynch this year and he averaged 8 marks a game. Oh, was it 10? Or was it 27 marks a game? I just sort of lost track of things. It was a good year, though. I could see the number one forward being in his range of outcomes. I can't see what Jono's selling, you know, the way it happens. I think
I think it's interesting as well, because he's not going to see a bump in goals, like, at all. He was fifth in the Coleman. I think the average for goals going forward will be about 60 to 65 in that range. And he was pretty close to that. So if we assume he's going to be up there in the top couple, he's not going to be getting those extra points from goals.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's interesting. He was pretty rank at the start. But anyway, we'll move on to Dossie's take. He's going to be talking.
Firstly, to Cam, I know you're doing the show solo with Stevie this week. Godspeed. But g'day, lads, and g'day, listeners. And prepare yourself for some hot fire. I'm on holidays at the moment and I'm not too far from the beautiful South Aussie town of Robe, which happens to be the hometown of my boy, Jordan Dawson. Steve probably didn't even know that because he's not a true Dawsonian, but it must be the fresh ocean air of this place. But I've unfortunately developed a disease in my time here, a disease that the doctors say can't be cured, and it's JD fever. Jordan Dawson is being talked about this preseason, but not talked about enough, because he is going to be a top 3 forward in both formats this season in 2020. And this is why. At age 22, Dawson played his first full season at AFL level, managing 20 games, having only played 5 games prior to that. Ridiculous considering how poised he was out there. He still had moments early in the year where bloody horse Longmire failed to trust him, playing 5 of his games before the bye with under 80% time on ground, including 2 games with time on ground in the 60s. After the bye, he averaged 86 AFL fantasy and 94 super coach points in 2019. If we just look at the raw averages from last year without taking anything into account, that already would sit him as a borderline top 10 forward in AFL fantasy and top 5-ish in super coach. Take into account that 2019 was Dawson's first full season of AFL, couple that with the second time he's really busted a gut in pre-season, comments he's made suggest he only really learned in the off-season that professionalism heading into last year. And you can feel a huge new level he can reach in 2020. His mentality this preseason is a man now comfortable that he belongs at AFL level and ready for the next step. A direct quote. Quote, "I'm using last season as a stepping stone and I want to play more of an important role in whichever position I play in 2020 and become a bit more of a leader as well. Those are my goals for the new year." End quote. He's got elite endurance, already winning the 2 km time trial at the Swans. He can increase his time on ground. He scored his seasonal average of 83 AFL fantasy points and 86 supercoach points in just 83% time on ground. An amount of time on ground he surpassed 14 times after a slow start. He's got size. He is 192 centimetres tall, people. He can play all over the ground. Hold up a minute. Isn't that what Lockie Whitfield, our number one forward, did last year? Play everywhere? He can kick goals. He kicked 15 goals and only 1 point last year. If you think he's going to be stuck in that back line all year, you're wrong. You're wrong. Funnily enough, the biggest area I think he can improve, which to be clear, I think he'll improve regardless of whether or not he gets this, but it's hashtag more mid-time. This is a guy who put up ludicrous numbers in the NEAFL and beyond the standard NEAFL ludicrous numbers and was particularly a fierce tackler. When he was a midfielder in there, he could hug anyone, okay? In the 2018 NEAFL season, he averaged 9 tackles a game, which one of my favourite stat lines ever is in his round 16 match in that NEAFL season. 29 disposals, 9 marks, 3 goals straight, and wait a sec, 24 tackles! That was good for 220 AFL fantasy points. Jordan Dawson can do it all. He's got an elite peg, elite endurance, wins it inside and out, kicks goals, tackles, is an underrated candidate for hashtag more mid-time, and is available as a goddamn forward defender. Jordan Dawson is a top 3 forward next year. Lock it in, Doss out.
Okay, there we have it, Dossie's take. And unfortunately, Cam, I can't see both yours and Dossie's coming true. Does fly a little bit in the face. Does that sway you off your George Hewitt take, or is Doss rolling some scoobs down in robe?
Well, I mean, look, firstly, what do you reckon Dossie's favourite ice cream flavour is?
Doss, favourite ice cream flavour? That's an interesting one. I reckon it'd be something weird like pistachio.
No, vanilla. Because that take, man. I mean, I think a lot of people are pretty hyped on Jordan Dawson for this year. And, you know, I can totally see him increasing his output this year. But I think it will probably be off that halfback flank. And that's a good thing. I actually see that as a very good thing for him.
Yeah, it's hard to see him moving anywhere else. He was very successful there last year, and they've lost Zach Jones, and he plays there. Of course, he could get the midfield time. Like you said, Sydney have been weak through the midfield. We always talk about Mills and Heaney and that going through the midfield, but they don't really seem... Like, they had every opportunity in the world to put Heaney in there last year, at the very least. Maybe not Mills with the injuries and whatnot, but they just don't seem to really want to do it.
Yeah, and... To be honest, he's so good up forward.
Yeah.
Heaney is awesome up forward. And, like, to Doss's point around the tackling side of things, you know, so he's averaged 3 tackles in every season he's played so far, given that it was only 1 and 4 games in his first 2. That's, you know, 2 more tackles and you're about an average mid. So he's getting an 8 point buff in AFL fantasy. That I don't think that's where his points are necessarily going to come from. And to be honest, a NEFL tackle stat is, you know, I went to a NEFL game last year and got 8 in the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, I've read that joke on Twitter a few times before. It's a good joke.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep using the jokes that I see on Twitter. It's the only way.
They're good ones.
The internet is funny.
Yeah.
The internet.
Yeah, well, here's something I also read on the, here's something I also read on the internet. Dossie, that take wasn't very spicy. It needs to be better. I also read this on the internet, but I had it written down on the internet first. Unfortunately, one of the listeners did pick this as one of their hot takes, but my hot take is that James Warple will outscore Tom Mitchell in 2020. And this is how it happens. Warple can get better. Five of his last 7 games had 31 or more disposals. The previous 15, he only had 1. This is a man in his second season who is only getting better. Another preseason, gets fitter. That uncontested ball is where he needs to improve. He was already top 20 in contested possessions per game. I want to see him add another mark and another tackle. I think he can do that with a little bit more time on ground. Not that his time on ground was poor by any stretch, but I think that's something that can happen. There's a chance Tom Mitchell is a really slow starter, has a lower time on ground than we've ever seen him have, spends more time as a forward, and drops to 105 average, which I think Warple could pass if those are the things that happen. Maybe he misses a couple of games with soreness. We've seen players come back from broken legs and struggle to stay on the park. It's a serious injury. I don't want to play it down at all. That's just the nature of it. I like the Hawks to improve. It's always good to be in a good team. And, you know, Warple did have these low time on ground. And I always talk about internal competition. And I know with Tom Mitchell back, but I just look at someone like a Tim Tarano, right? Like, he had his 3rd year, still in a stacked team, and he was still able to absolutely smash. Yes, it was probably a bit more than we thought because GWS did have some injuries, but he had the prime role all year in a good team in his 3rd year, was still able to absolutely smash it out. And I think the same thing could happen for James Warple. No, I won't rank him over Titch, but this is the extreme end of the circumstances and I can really see it happening.
Yeah, I'd buy it. And like, you look at his last maybe, 6 games, he went absolutely ham in those games. It was like 118, 89, 106, 126, 117, 134. And then he finished on a paltry 67 against the Eagles. But it's the Eagles, and he, you know, received a little bit of attention there as well. So I'd buy it. I would probably buy what you're selling. I can see it happening.
Well, the people seem to like it when Crispy Pigskin said it on Twitter. You prick, you're stealing my thunder.
Bloody Crispy Pigskins every time.
Yeah, what's going on? Walk down the street and they just hurling abuse at me and probably make a cuckold of me, quite frankly. Cam, the girls are away. I don't know what's going on. Cam, what's your second hot take?
So my second one is that Taranto is going to be the number one forward in AFL fantasy.
So the big problem here is you're relying on a position change.
Well, it's a hot take. So let me go through it for you, because you seem a little bit unconvinced. I'm going to sell you a Tim Taranto as a forward by the end of the show. So Whitfield, Perryman, De Boer, Kelly, Canelio, Ward, Hopper, Taranto. Add into this the likes of Jackson Hatley and Jai Caldwell, who will absolutely play more games this year, because if they don't, they will move clubs and they should be staying there. Because they're quite highly regarded. And you probably have one of the more interesting questions about the preseason. How is that unit deployed in 2020 with such an amazing amount of on-ball talent? So I've tried to break it down a little more. And if we look at the types of player they are, I think Taranto becomes a bit of an outlier and one of the more versatile of the group. So Cogs and Kelly, both explosive mids, great leg speed, can hit the scoreboard, both strong on the inside and out. Perryman and Whitfield, stronger on the outside. Whitfield has an exceptional tank and can make its most contests wait on the outside. And Perryman plied his trade on a wing through 2019. Ward and Hopper, inside balls, contested ball freaks. Hopper averaged the most contested possessions in the club, and neither are overly speedy. Contested marks are questionable. Kind of have to be on the inside to make any impact or play the game at all. De Boer, probably the best tagger in the comp last year, negated some of the biggest names. Will likely tag again in 2020, meaning that there's one less centre square spot up for grabs. And so at this point, we have two outsiders, two insiders that probably can't and likely won't be deployed anywhere else. De Boer, who takes a mid spot, and Cogs and Kelly, two of the most damaging mids in the comp, and we haven't even hit Taranto yet. So Taranto was a contested beast in 2019. Again, as Steve was saying, the opportunity was just there, and he absolutely took it. He ranked second in the club for contestant ball, great at clearances, yada, 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 yada. All the things that other people in the team can fill as well. But the difference between him and the other mids, with the exception of the outside mids of Whitfield and Perryman, he managed to take an average of 4.62 marks per game, higher than Cogs, Kelly, Hopper, De Boer, and it's clearly a strength of his. So if a midfield is full of people that aren't likely to play another role, does Taranto have the size, tackling pressure, marking ability of a half forward? I think the answer is absolutely yes, and I think from round one you're probably going to see Taranto is going to be deployed across the half forward line where he was in his first couple of years in the league, making him potentially eligible for DPP in round six. Obviously, the role switch will impact his fantasy scoring output, and I'd still expect him to get 90s from him, and you might see that as a burn if you were drafting him where his current average is. Now, here's where the bow gets maybe a little bit long, but looking at the injury history of the Giants midfield, like, let's take for as a truth that he gets his dual position. The Giants midfield are not exactly the most sturdy bunch. Josh Kelly has played 14 and 15 games over the last 2 years. Cogs, 15, 21 and 7 over the last three. De Boer, 15, 13, 12. Ward is coming off an ACL and Hopper has never played 22 games. That is fragile AF. And he'll be the first on the list to jump into that mid as soon as there is an injury. Which means his DPP 90 at the start of the season could very easily go over, 100 towards the end of the season if the opportunity arises. I'm personally staying away from Taranto because I think there's a lot to play out there. But, that to me is a narrative that I would very easily believe.
Yeah, I think you've laid it out pretty in a really interesting way, and one I don't disagree with. It seems that's how things could go. One thing I would say is that De Boer, they could just lose the tag, which I think is a possibility. I think Ward's going to probably have low time on ground. I'm really interested to see it play out.
Yeah, but, and I agree. Like, if you look at was the tag successful, yes, but who did he tag? People in teams that, they trashed anyway.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, why did they need to tag? Can they remove it? Probably. But it's definitely something that's interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I don't hate the take. It's like he's going to score no matter what. It's banking on a DPP, and I really hate playing that way. I think it's a really flawed strategy to head into your draft.
I don't think, first of all, he's going to go before you could take him as a 90 forward anyway.
Yeah.
And so you probably won't have the chance to bank on the DPP. If anything, you're banking on him not getting it if you draft him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think he's a tough guy to draft in AFL Fantasy this year. Much more palatable in Supercoach, where he can't get a position change.
Yeah.
So just take a second. You can hit us up on the social medias at The Draft Doctors on Twitter. We're on the Facebook. We've got the website with some articles dropping every now and again. There should be more coming in the new year. TheDraftDoctors.com.au. Check out our sweet merch page there. And make sure you drop us an iTunes rating or review. We're still getting Stato to do something. The kickflip doesn't seem like it's going to happen, although he does seem like a fan of the Big Air. The Big Air contest, the Statesman. He's been working on a 1080 I'm told.
A 1080.
Yeah.
A 1080.
Down at the Launceston, or was it Hobart? Down at the Hobart big the air ramp.
The Hobart big ramp. It's a small known location. It's underrated location in Hobart.
Really, the Burnie one is where the action's at. But Statesman's down at Hobart working on the big air. So, and just on that note, let's check in on who's next on the run sheet. Where is it? Doss. Doss has got another go. Okay, well, let's hear Doss's next take.
I'm back for some more hot fire, and I'm taking aim at the rising star of 2019, the beloved Carlton young gun Sam Walsh, and predicting regression for 2020. This is purely an AFL fantasy take, and that's not a cop-out, Steve. It's simply because of his efficiency numbers. They have a fair bit of scope to improve next season for the Supercoach side of things. But Walsh is a borderline top 50 mid in AFL fantasy heading into next season. And he's going to go at a spot in your drafts where people will be expecting an improved average in 2020. In your AFL fantasy drafts, he'll go ahead of Jacob Hopper. He'll go ahead of James Harms. He'll most likely go ahead of Jared Lyons. Heaven forbid, he might go ahead of the GOAT, Braden Fiorini. But how many points are you expecting him to improve? The players I just mentioned averaged between 1 and 8 points better than him in 2019. Sam Walsh had one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen, and you're expecting him not only to repeat that form, but to take another big step up. Sam Walsh will regress in year two. When we look for improvement in the sophomore season, we look for a scope of improvement in statistical categories, disposals, marks, tackles, goals, and just as importantly, time on ground and opportunity. Walsh had everything in his first year, massive opportunity, coming straight in to be the Carlton saviour, huge time on ground, and there's no doubt that he delivered. All his statistical categories were solid. He averaged 25 disposals a game, already with a nice kick-to-handball ratio, along with 5 marks, 3 tackles. But in year 2, to back it up again and elevate again, don't count on it. You basically have to hope Walsh is the AFL's Luka Doncic, and NBA fans know what I mean. But if you don't, he's a Slovenian god of a basketball player who won Rookie of the Year last year and is now in the MVP race in year 2 this year. So if Walsh is not the AFL's Doncic, which is just ridiculously rare, there is no way he takes that leap that we need him to take to be drafted as early as I fear he will go in 2020. Let's take a look at the best rookie seasons in the past 15 years and see what sort of improvement we had in the second year following a huge debut season. Firstly, a couple of success stories. Joel Selwood averaged 86 AFL fantasy points in his debut season and managed to get to 91 in year 2. But looking back at Selwood's first season, he had to work his way into a solid role. He wasn't immediately the saviour. They were a strong team already, and he managed to lift his average through the middle part of his first season, which was indicative of that second-year rise. Other good stories, Dyson Heppel averaged 83 and lifted to 85 in year 2. Jack Trengove from 76 to 90, but he sucked in year 3. And Ollie Wines, 74 to 91. Now let's look at some of the other top rookies in the last 15 years who regressed in year 2. Stephen Cornelio, 79 in year 1. Then dipped to 76 in year 2. Tom Scully, 79 to 77. Daniel Rich, 77 to 75. David Swallow, 76 to 74. Mark Murphy, teammate of Walsh, 75.3 to 74.9. And Reece Palmer, 88 to 79. Now, all of those names, both positive and negative, were the best AFL fantasy averages by top 10 picks in the last 15 years. You want to know something that none of them did? Average over 90 AFL fantasy points. Walsh averaged 92.2. Walsh will have to back up that extraordinary rookie year and lift another level in 2020, despite his team getting stronger, more competition for touches, and the clear direction of new coach David Teague to have a veteran-heavy presence in the centre bounces, which was evident when he took over. Beware drafting Sam Walsh. Beware the sophomore slump. Sam Walsh to regress in 2020. Fuck you, Steve, for all the shit I've probably already copped this episode, and hashtag Cam out. Enjoy the rest of the show, turds.
Well, thanks, Doss. That's beautiful language. We're going to take a look at Yeager O'Meara, who doesn't pop up in your category, because he averaged 89 Dream Team in his first year, 89 Supercoach, if you don't mind, and went up to 92 in his second year. So that's kind of interesting. I know he wasn't a top 10 pick, was picked before then, because he's that good, much like Sam Walsh would have been if he was in a rookie mini draft. Cam, what are your thoughts? Sam Walsh regress, does it really matter? And is 2 points a big deal? What are you expecting from Walsh? And what do you think his ADP is going to look like?
Yeah, ADP is interesting because I think he'll probably go above where he'll finish. So I think there is a fair point from Doss around will he regress, and that I think the answer is probably yes. But the gravity that Doss is applying to the situation is maybe a little bit strong. I think it's maybe a 1 or 2 point differential rather than, you know, an 85 unrosterable mid going into next year. Like, I think the thing to remember with him is that he built a lot of his score on the outside. So whilst you think he's maybe a contested weapon, he managed 15.8 uncontested possessions per game. And if he improves his efficiency of use, which is just quite deplorable at times, you know, he could actually be a really helpful winger. And, you know, we've sort of said that wingers in the new system in the 666 world are probably topping out around your 90s anyway. I think there's a strong case to say he gets 90, but you won't draft him at a place where where you'd be comfortable that he got 90 and be okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, like, if we look at where, like, the way it gets drafted, if he's the 50th average mid and you're generally drafting one position to one midfielder in the first, you know, 10 rounds of your draft, that means he's going to go about pick 100. So if someone goes early and gets him at pick 85, is that the end of the world? Like, if he drops...
Wait. Probably not. Yeah, like, would you be really disappointed? I think you'd be more disappointed in a season ender from anyone before that.
Yeah, I think the problem is, like, you're looking at like what happened at the end of last year is an absolute given. I think they got those guys in there, just got some wins, got Carlton up and about, got the fans excited. Like, I can't see them going away from... Like, I could... Mark Murphy's going to be 33 next year.
Yeah. That is, like...
That's pretty old.
That's still younger than Doss.
Still younger than Doss. I don't know. I mean, it's not really a hot take, though.
Yeah, I feel like Doss is, you know, he tried... If you were to try and light a barbecue with this fire that Doss has bought, you'd be going hungry.
I mean, you could light it on with the wood that makes the fence he's sitting on.
Yeah, it's a bit of a fence, yeah.
It's a bit of a fence sit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Doss. Whatever. Let's listen to Jono's next hot take.
Okay, so my second hot take for 2020 is that Jake Lloyd will not finish in the top 10 defenders for 2020. Yes, I know that is a serious hot take, but this is how it's going to happen. At the end of 2019, we saw Jake Lloyd's fantasy output drop dramatically, where he was only able to score one ton in both AFL Fantasy and Supercoach throughout our AFL Fantasy Finals. Now, that's a big concern for me. But how did that actually happen? Well, we saw the likes of Jordan Dawson, Dane Rampion, Callum Mills all step up in 2019. But in that back end of the year, Sydney were cooked. They couldn't make the finals, but they actually started to play a little bit differently out of defence. Normally, we saw Jake Lloyd. He was the 1-2 switcheroo guy out of defence and just rack up possession after possession each and every time. Now, Jake Lloyd is a guy who averaged 30 disposals in 2019 with almost 700 disposals. Now, when you think about that, Lachie Neale broke the most disposals record only a couple of years ago with 700. So he's like elite midfielder possessions. That is nowhere near sustainable. In 2019, he ranked second for total kicks. And in 2018, he was actually the leading player for most kicks. Now, again... There's no way he can sustain that, especially with Sydney crashing out of the finals for the first time in what seemed forever. So Horse may be actually changing up the game plan, maybe be a bit more fast, free-flowing that we've seen a lot of teams do out of defence instead of hold it up, let the midfielders and other players run forward. So that's what I'm really concerned about there for Jake Lloyd. And that might mean his effective disposals drop as well. He was fourth for that in 2019. So if the Swans play a different game style where they're not holding up the ball and he's forced to kick it long down the line, there's more chance of a turnover there. And that's really going to affect his Supercoach score. So it would mean a clanger and minus 9 points. So therefore, he's not going to be the number one defending a top 10 defender in 2020.
Whew, Cam, that is a spicy meatball. It seems hard to believe. Jono makes some good points, though.
He does make good points. I'll tell you what, though. You know, dropping out of the top 10, you know, I'm just looking at AFL fantasy numbers right now. If he drops 10 points, he's still in the top 4.
Yeah.
Like, so he'd have to regress back to 87, I believe.
So he'd have to drop 20 points.
It's a big ask, I think. And, you know, even if you look at the back end of his season, where Jono was talking about, he still averaged over that.
Yeah, so, that's interesting. I find it hard not to rank him there in AFL fantasy at very least.
Yeah, for sure. Like, for me, he's coming in, like, it's very hard not to rank him as the top defender. Is there an outcome where he does slide significantly? Maybe. Is he still going to average in the 90s? Probably, which will, I think, maybe keep him above that top 10.
It's pretty interesting. 10. Like, let's say he had 26 disposals a game. They're all kicks and he loses 2 marks. That's the sort of points he'd need to drop, which isn't... When you lay it out like that, it's not heaps.
Yeah, correct. Like, I mean, perspective, right?
But, yeah.
What do you reckon?
That he drops? Oh, yeah. I could see him not being the top defender, but I'd still rank him there, and I still think he's going to finish top 5. I'd say his drop would be more like Rory Laird.
Yeah,
remember, okay. we sort of called Rory Laird to come back a bit this year, wouldn't keep up that torrid pace.
So you're looking at sort of a 5-point drop rather than 20.
He could drop 10. He could drop 10 points, and I'd be fine with it. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
You know, you're obviously not getting draft value at that point. Maybe you still are. He could still be the top defender, averaging 98.
Yeah, correct. I think that's a real possibility that people need to look at this year.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Cam, it flies in the face of my next point, the last hot take we've got, and that is that Luke Ryan will be the number one defender in both formats. That's right.
Whoa, what?
I'm hitting relevance on Supercoach and AFL fantasy.
Oh my god! Oh wow!
And this is a big take because he only averaged the 80 in AFL fantasy, right? So that's quite a jump. Did average the 95 in Supercoach, so not a huge leap there, but it generally takes a little bit more. So here's where I think it happens. Let me lay out the case, and I want to take you back in time, Cam. It was a magical year. It was 2016. We had a defender entering his fifth season. Luke Ryan will be entering his fifth season, if you count his lone VFL season. That defender averaged 82 Dream Team and 87 Supercoach the prior season. Luke Ryan averaged 80 Dream Team and 95 Supercoach, so very similar. That defender was heading into a season under a new coach. A coach that was recruited from the club that led the AFL in marks. Luke Ryan is heading into a season under a new coach who is from the club who led the league in marks. Ryan's team was ranked 17th for marks. That defender I'm talking about, his club's marks rose from a rank of 15th to 9th. Two of Luke Ryan's teammates who took the highest marks per game have left. There's about an 11 or 12% share of Fremantle's marks gone. Because it is through marks that Luke Ryan is going to build his score as a defender, as most defenders do. That defender hadn't yet shown the same ceiling as Luke Ryan. In fact, Luke Ryan has had 13 tons to that other player's 6 at the same points of their career. And the next year, that defender averaged 101 Dream Team and 108 Supercoach. Who was that defender, Cam?
Tell me, Steve. Hit me with it.
It was Sam Doherty.
Ooh.
Similar players. So Luke Ryan does similar things, and I really think the new coach thing builds into it, right? Like, it's a new game plan. Fremantle, like, there's less internal competition for how Luke Ryan's going to build his score. I think he's... When we see the ceiling, you can build consistency from the floor up. I think that's a bit easier to do when you're a developing player. So I really think it's very possible. No, I won't have him ranked as my top defender, but I think it's within the realm of possibility that he finishes there.
I think that's so interesting, especially coming from a draft value perspective, right? Like, you... I believe that. I totally believe that story. And you get to a point where it's like, well, you know, if you're taking him as your, you know, maybe first or second defender, and it's probably round, you know, seven, man, that's some serious value.
I reckon he's huge value in the AFL fantasy format.
Yeah.
Just, he finished so far down. He was like, he was a D3. He was a
D3. Yeah.
He was still pretty high up there in Supercoach, so you're going to have to take a leap of faith there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you go a forward or you go a ruck early or whatever. So,
I'll tell you what, though, Steve, I'll tell you a stat. Luke Ryan, on average, still never hit 15 marks a game. So, you know, Jono's Tom Lynch take.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to beat that. Also has bad hair, so that does count against him.
Yeah.
It's like he's the third member of Bros. It's,
That is quite obscure, sir.
Dropping some 80s references. Really threw a cat amongst the pigeons there. But now we're going to get to the listener hot takes, Cam. Really, the listeners came out in force. We love it when you get on social media and tell us how bad we are and get involved with all the good bants out there. And we certainly think we've got the best listeners going around, and we enjoy the community. We've got Rob. He says, oh, Cam, I'm going to need you to give these a rating of spiciness, all right?
Oofed.
Okay. So he's got Ablett being a top three averaging forward in Supercoach behind Whitfield and Dusty.
It's quite spicy. It's probably not going to happen, but on the pepper scale, it's maybe a ghost chili.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't think it's super hot. I think it's more like it's a Zinger burger. Like, some people might find it really hot.
So I went too spicy with the ghost.
I think you went pretty hot.
Yeah. Okay. Zingers? Okay, zinger.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, zingers aren't that spicy.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not spicy.
Maybe the turbocharged ones.
Yeah.
But like I said, we had a mechanic at my work, at this one golf course I worked, and he couldn't eat a zinger. Too hot for him.
What?
Yeah, I know. We're just looking at him going, come on, old man. What is wrong with you?
Wow.
Yeah. We've got Big Cox says, and why do you do this, Cox? You just... fucking with us at this point. Adam Cherry to outscore Brayshaw.
Oh, I love it. I love that take. Because, like, last year going into the year, I actually had Chera as a smoky to go better than Andy Brayshaw anyway. And
yeah.
This is along the same lines. I actually think it's possible.
Yeah, but the year before, like, Chera was playing in the middle and, you know, it looked good. Archibald... he thinks Sheed is going to be a top eight averaging forward by the end of the year. So, again, another position change.
Hate it. In the bin.
Yeah,
I think Dom Sheed is, Dom Tyson. That's
what we didn't give Cox a spice rating.
Oh, I'm going to say Nando's mild.
Cherry outscore Brayshaw?
Oh, sorry. Nando's hot. Nando's extra hot.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
And Archibald Sheed, top eight forward.
Yeah, that's the mild. There's the mild.
I don't think it's pretty hot. It's just shit.
Yeah,
it's like you put Nando's sauce on a turd.
You'd probably still eat it. Oh, man, that's tasty.
Russ, Dom Tyson will average more than Dom Sheed in 2020. He's looking for the Dom off part two.
There it is. Yeah, we're back. I've already challenged Archie to the Dom off part two, and he's keen, and I'm very keen, and an article came out today about Dom Tyson's injury woes, and I'm very excited to say that he's not past them, and it has me worried. But that said, keen on the Dom off two.
There's no clearer sign that it's the preseason than you get a Mason Wood article, is there?
Oh,
he's going to unlock that potential, man.
How old is he?
Yeah, he's like 42, same age as Doss.
Yep, he's gonna key in some untapped.
How spicy was Russ's take though?
Russ, medium Nando's.
Jackson says Doss will be replaced by Cam as host by season's end. Is that in the range of outcomes?
I don't think it's in the range of outcomes, but I'd like to say that it's not even a hot take because of how wrong that one is. But maybe there's a world where Doss gets drafted into the big leagues and he ends up on Fox Footy at the end of the year and he you know, is reporting with Neroli Meadows. Who knows?
Wait, didn't she get, not renewed?
Oh, was that Nez?
I'm pretty sure. It was, socials blew up.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, Doss would probably get sacked too, so.
There you go.
Yep.
Adam. Oh, sorry, how spicy is it? That's pretty spicy.
Pretty spicy.
That's not going to happen.
That's the ghost chili. That's the Reaper pepper.
The show shuts down before we get to that point. Adam says, Brody Smith will be the number one defender. And I like that, Adam, and I don't think that's super hot at all. Riley O'Brien will be the number two ruck, and the Crows will miss the eight.
I just can't see Brody Smith being the top defender. Maybe in Supercoach, but
No. It'd be more Dream Team than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Surely not.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think that's pretty hot. I love the Riley O'Brien take. I think that's pretty achievable, actually. I think in the next couple of years, he's going to be quite strong. I'd give it that's a hot Nando's rate. Hot Nando's.
Really? Brody Smith averaged 106 over the last 2 months when he was playing pure wing.
Yeah.
Crispy Pigskins. Yeah, he said Warpedo escort Titch. Thanks, Crispy. You jerk. You don't get a spiciness rating because of it. Jamie says Harms will be a top 10 defender in 2020. Another position change.
Oh, wow. How would it happen?
He played halfback in the last game of the year, and they said they're going to look at it going forward, right? Because they have wings now at Melbourne.
Yeah.
So their midfield's been condensed. So
they've got wings.
Yeah.
At Melbourne are going to play wings?
Apparently. It's
crazy. I think he's really good as a tagger, to be honest. And so I sort of find it hard for them to move him outside that midfield group.
Mm. Anyway, spiciness?
Mild.
It's pretty spicy.
Nah.
Russ again. Ebert to average 102 as a mid forward.
That's seriously spicy. That is.
He's been there before.
Yeah, he's definitely been there before. That is Vindaloo, a really heavy Vindaloo, I think. But I can, yeah, I there's a world where it happens. I think it's in his range of outcomes. I think it's quite hot.
Alex says Lambert to be a top 10 forward.
Yep. I'd back that. Absolutely. I actually don't think it's that hot. I think there's a very strong possibility that Lambert goes up next year.
Sure. Bagels. Fiorini will be fine and not lose any mid time to the new recruits.
That is very hot and wrong, but... Yeah. Steve, what do you reckon?
It's spicy.
It's hot.
I like it. Zane says Cam will get more hot tips right than wrong this year.
It's one of the spicier takes that we received, I think. And look, I looked for the George Hall and Smith of next year, and it is really hard to find. The closest I could come to, and what I almost reported on tonight, was Jacob Townsend, but I was far too scared to say anything about it, and therefore I have not.
Oh, well, he's got forward status, Cam, so he's super relevant. Yeah, no, that's an Adelaide summer, that take. That was crazy. Sealy says, Andrew Brayshaw won't live up to the hype and average under 79. What is going? Where's this Andrew Brayshaw hate come from?
Oh, man. Look, can't you see it?
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, it's in the range.
Yeah. No, it is. It is.
Yeah.
Do people think we're drafting him as a top 10 forward? I'm not doing that.
No, not at all.
He'd be probably in the early 20s for me. It's not, come on.
But you look at Andy McGrath, and you're just is it going to happen again? How soon?
It's not Andy McGrath, though.
No, it's not.
Dan says he won't be drafting Titch even if he slides late first, early second.
Ooh, I mean, yeah. So it's uncommon, and Steve, I don't think you do this, but I have a do not draft list. I think you do. Everyone has value.
I don't have a don't draft. Yeah. Everyone has value at a point.
Yeah. So I have a do not draft list for people that I just don't want to deal with. I can see why he wouldn't want it. For me, I'd still be keen.
Yeah, I think the problem is like you're just not if you're not taking him, early first, you're not taking him. So you could rank him 10th, but you can rank him 69th. It's the same thing essentially.
Yeah.
I can't see him. You know, people will just stare him down and go, "This is sick." But anyway, I think it's a spicy take because I don't think many people agree with it.
Yeah.
Jaden says, Doc won't average 100 and will burn everyone.
I mean, if he averages 90, is he still burning everyone? Because,
I don't think people are ranking him there.
You think like, they're going higher?
No, they're going under. Like,
yeah.
I reckon he'll get ranked with, like, the 85s.
Okay. And if he gets ranked with the 85s, that's okay. Like, I think he can totally go 85.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a massive drop in his last average output, but that's good. 85 would be great.
Yeah. Dan, again, okay, he's got a couple here. He says, Lysette will go 100-plus and become a premium ruck, and Bailey Smith and Chera will both average at least 80.
Bailey Smith take his hot. I'm a Lysette truther, I believe. I'm keen to see how he goes as a solo ruck for the season. But, Steve, you have a different opinion?
I don't think he's going to be a solo ruck.
Right.
If they've moved West off to the back line, surely they're looking at... Like, they seem to love this two-ruck system.
Yeah, so you think Laddams will...
I reckon he can play.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if he's any good.
Yeah. You reckon he'll play, though? Yep, okay.
I reckon he might play.
Yeah. If they are moving West off back, then yeah, there's the spot, right?
Unless Marshall's good to go and it's Marshall and Dixon, I guess. I could see it. Like, totally, I could get on board with Lysette.
Yeah, but I can also see how he potentially averages 80. You know, the range of outcomes for him is massive.
I'm so locked in on Riley O'Brien this year. It's Riley O'Brien season.
Yeah.
How spicy are those, though, Cam?
Look, let's just group the last three and say at least a medium.
Mark, bringing the heat, says Josh Jenkins will be a top six forward.
Oh, God.
My God.
This is a setup for sure. They're trying to get me to hype up some cat, and I'm not going to do it because I think that's irresponsible. I don't see it happening. That is spicy, though. That is so spicy. That's like take Nonna's meatballs and throw in a whole bunch of cayenne pepper. That is quite spicy.
I think it's Icarus, man. You are going to the sun.
Yeah.
At this point, right? Yeah. Josh Jenkins, top six forward. My goodness.
Yeah.
Jamie, again, says Hanbury will average over 100. We actually had James on Facebook say the same thing, so popular opinion.
Yeah, well,
he averaged 98 last year.
Yeah, he was good, like, for the four games that he played. Yeah. You know, look, you can totally... It's Hammonds, man. Like, he can totally do it. It's just that, you know, will his body hold up? He's got a foot injury. I'm really hesitant on foot injuries. He's not going to have much of a preseason, but it's Hammonds. So you can see it.
And they brought players in.
Oh, it shouldn't affect him. But at the same time, surely doesn't affect him.
Why not?
Well, they brought in outside runners.
Yeah, well, you need outside runners to build your score if you're going to score 100.
Does he?
What? Does he get the ball on the outside?
He can, but he hasn't needed to necessarily rely on it through his career, right?
Well, if you're going to build your score for 100 average,
yeah,
you know, not many people are Patrick Cripps and just get there off contested ball.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Branko, Steve Canelio will be the top scorer.
Hot fire. I'm totally on board. Totally on board. That's like...
Fuck.
Yeah.
Imagine Grundy dropping off so much. Yeah. Was the top scorer.
Fuck. Well, why do you look at it that way? I think...
Well, because so many things have to go right for that to happen.
You reckon?
Oh, think about all the players who have to just fall into a bag of shit. You tell me Jackson McRae is just going to fall off a cliff?
I think Kenealy goes up, not everyone else falls down.
Oh, he could average 110 and he wouldn't get 10 points top scorer.
Yeah. He'll go.
Geordie says Riley O'Brien finishes better than Max Gawn. Love it.
Yep, on board. Yep.
Not too spicy then. That's a lemon.
Not too spicy. That's the second one today, or the second that we've heard.
Oh, yeah, people love that. And just a question, Connor asks, who will average more, DBJ or Houston? He likes DBJ, but he thinks Houston will be fine too.
I think Houston.
Yeah, I think Houston. I think the community's really on Houston. They see that potential midfield yep. spot. But thanks for the question, Connor. And thanks to everyone for getting on board and sending that stuff in. Make sure you can hit us up every week. We put the call out for questions. Well, most weeks. Sometimes I just don't care. hope you're having a good Christmas. Yeah. All right, Cam. The big announcement at the end of the show.
Oofed.
Your Christmas present. Why don't you tell the people what's happening? Because I made you do all the work on this one.
Yes. Yes. So basically, the Draft Doctors are getting their shit together and releasing a draft kit going into next year. It is going to be a fantastic document that you'll be able to have a look at and find different things about. All, you know, 15 players from every single team in the league, and we're doing deep analysis on all of them. You're going to find a Draft Doctors exclusive range of outcomes in that document. A little bit spicy. And we're also going to actually predict where they are probably going to fall for their average. So there's, I think, a fair bit of content there to digest. It's going to be presented in a, you know, nice format, because that's the bit that Steve made me do the work on. I'm pumped for this. I'm so pumped for it.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited too. It's a lot of work, but I think there's going to be a lot of value to be had, and I think people enjoy it. And all the rankings will still be up on the website and all that sort of stuff, so you can certainly see all that stuff there. And there'll be team articles on the website, but the draft kit should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and look, there's banter in there.
There is. So there's at least 5 lawsuits going on right now.
This is going to be a significant blow to our financial funds based on legal costs that we need to recoup.
What? Yeah, hello? No, that's yeah. So it's a lot of fun and should be really good. This is probably the part of the show each week where Doss asks me what episode we're doing next week, and I go, yeah. Let me just look that up. Next week. Yeah, so next week we've got the fantasy face-off. What a slick edit there. No, that's going to be a lot of fun, although Jono's still away, I think. Possibly visiting Engadine Maccas. We're not sure. But thanks for checking us out this week, and stay tuned for more shows and episodes, and make sure you leave us a rating and review and get Stato doing the big air.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.